You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What's going on, Bulls Nation? Welcome into CHGO Bulls. Coming to you live on Thursday afternoon, remote show. I am Peck, Bulls underscore Peck, Big Day Bow, BNWL Sports, and our guy Will to Go, Gottlieb, Will underscore Gottlieb. We are CHGO underscore Bulls. Rocking on the producer's controls behind the scenes, it's our dear friend Sarah. Hi, Sarah. You don't have to make an appearance if you don't want to, but I just wanted to say hi. What's up, gentlemen?
Hi.
Hello there,
hey,
Matt.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
And, Matt, I want to say. And Lawrence is around too.
Did you hit him with the Aunt Peggy? Is that what you just hit him with?
Aunt Peggy. Skyler Sisters.
And, but Matt, I really did like your excitement for Javonte Green. On Twitter, and I thought that was really cool. I don't know if everybody saw that, but the LFG 5J was pretty darn awesome. I was like, I like that right there. That should be something. That was really cool.
I felt like Javonte was deserving of a new cool abbreviation for Bulls fans to just use.
I liked it.
There's so much about who Javonte is on a basketball court that just shouts LFG, you know? Okay, LFG 5J. Let's do it.
Well done. Very well done, sir. Very well done.
Thank you. That is the big news of the day. We will begin with that. And then also today wanted to touch on comparing the Bulls and Hawks remaining schedules. They are currently tied 34-40 with six games each to go, determining those 9 and 10 seeds in the play-in tournament. And then also to wrap up, touching on an interesting conversation that was had on a recent episode of the Dunked On podcast with Nate Duncan, ranking the NBA's best to worst, quote unquote, young cores of players, aka players 25 years of age and younger. So that is all on deck for today's show. If you're hanging out with us on YouTube or catching the YouTube replay, do us a favor, hit that like button. Also, if you're a podcast listener and you haven't done it, throw us a rate and review on your preferred podcasting platform. We appreciate those too. So gentlemen, Woj broke the news first earlier today, and the Bulls issued an official press release confirming that five Javontes have returned after his 10-day contract from the injury hardship expired, and he is brought back on a real remainder of season contract and in a ensuing move. As you see the press release there, thanks, Sarah, waived the seldomly used Terry Taylor to open up that 15th and final roster spot for Javonte. Gentlemen, how are we feeling about Javonte and his four twin brothers being around for the stretch haul of these last six games?
I mean, I like it. I'm excited about it. Like, just Javonte being here. Not to throw, the wet blanket on, I don't know what it changes as far as his team is concerned, but the fact that you have Javonte Green, who was obviously a fan favorite, who obviously everybody just truly loved and still talked about, even though when he left. And even when they found out he was in the G League, because we didn't know where he was after, he kind of left the Bulls. And I believe it was with Golden State G League team he was with. And then we saw pictures of him in the Bulls. We were like, wait a minute, that's Javonte Green. Like, oh, man, it was just like good to see you, like an old family friend everybody was cool with who they hadn't seen in a while. So I thought that was cool to see him. So, yeah, signing him is good, I guess, for fans. I'm sure it's good for the team and the locker room and things like that. I don't know, as I said, what it changes on the floor for the Bulls. I'm sure Will can provide a better perspective on that. But, just for the mental of it, for fans and for the team players, I think it's good. I saw they had him listed at 6'5". I don't recall Javonte Green being 6'5". I'm kind of remember being 6'4", but whatever. It's a good day. Javonte's back and we'll roll with it.
I think they have to at least give you 6'5" when your primary defensive assignment every night wearing a Bulls jersey is guarding the opposing team's center or power forward who are 6'10" or taller.
Very fair. Very fair.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I mean, he clearly got back in the rotation and was already ahead of Terry Taylor. So you feel like there's a level of trust there with Billy where he's going to be able to play another guy. You're obviously missing Patrick Williams. You're missing Zach LaVine. That's, you know, Zach's not a power forward, but like that's wing depth and you're missing a lot of that. Terry Taylor was really playing third string center. And so, you know, assuming nothing happens to Vucher or Andre Drummond, you feel like it's okay to kind of like, I mean, it's like carrying three quarterbacks or three catchers on your roster. It's like you just don't, it's a luxury more than anything. And the Bulls don't have the luxury right now to not be utilizing what limited roster spots they have. So I think it makes sense. Javonte has been really good with the Bulls before. In 47 minutes played this year over just three games, the team is plus 31.5. So he is contributing in a big way. And even last year it was plus 2.2, the year before that plus 2. So he's been a steady contributor as far as helping this team win. And that's exactly what they need, especially in that position. So I think it makes sense. And just to add some like clarity to the contract situation. So we had talked before about him not being able to be on the playoff roster. That was wrong. He is going to be eligible to be on the Bulls playoff roster. There were a couple of things that needed to happen in order for that to be the case. Number one, he could not be on a 10-day contract. They needed to sign him to a regular contract, which is what they did by waiving Terry Taylor. And then two, the reason he, like, there's this March 1st deadline where players who were signed after March 1st aren't allowed to be eligible for the playoff roster. But it turns out that that's only for players that had been waived. So had he been waived by another team after March 1st, then he would not be eligible. Since he was not on another team and therefore not waived, he is eligible. So that's big news, I think, for the Bulls in their little play-in postseason push here as we keep going. Because, like I said, I think he really does help. He adds energy. He adds athleticism. He adds transition play, the ability to guard. Like they need all those things. And I think he, you know, fits right into the system. He knows all these guys. His teammates love him, and they're really happy he's back.
Shout out to Larry in the comments. He said, can we put potential playoff run in quotes, please? Yeah, first things first. Maybe Javonte can help. So can they use Javonte also in the play-in game or games, Will, assuming that this is now a real contract and not a 10-day? Because the way that the NBA has defined those play-in games, at least so far, has been this weird like purgatory where your stats and play-in games don't count towards your regular season stats, but they don't count as playoff stats. So, like, so he's eligible also for the play-in games.
Exactly. If this were still a 10-day contract, even if they waited to the last day of the season to allow him to like technically have those 10 days extend beyond, the rules state that in the CBA, it says you can only, those 10-day contracts have to end on the last day of the regular season. So that's why they needed to waive Terry Taylor in order to bring him in on a full roster spot. And that allows him to play the rest of the season, obviously, but then also in the postseason, which includes the play-in and the playoffs should they get there.
That makes sense. Go ahead.
Hey, Will, can you talk real quick about Terry Taylor's game real quick? Because you just talked about how he basically was used as the third backup center, and everything about his size and his height and some of his game says I could be used as a four or I could be cheated at as a three. What is it about his game where it just felt like a 6'4", 6'5" guy had to be your backup center?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. Number one, I think the shooting is probably not up to where it needs to be in order for him to play just like a stretch wing or anything like that. Like he's not there yet. I'm pulling up the numbers now as I'm talking, but 22.2% from threes this year, 28.8% career. Like you can't have that and still get minutes. I think basically like it was put to me, this is a couple of years old now, but like basically if you aren't a shooter, you're a center. That's just kind of how it is in the NBA. And you really can only afford to have one non-shooter at the floor at most at all times. And he's switchable. He it's just a different look. It's more of like a change-up small ball type of lineup that you can run with him. But he's a great offensive rebounder. He's a great rebounder in general. He can switch onto guards and allows you to have that sort of switchable style. And we talked about it yesterday. We've talked about it for years now that this team just does not have a lot of versatility in the way that they can play. So I thought it made sense to have him, but right now you're just so limited with forward depth that you kind of need to prioritize the things that you're going to use every day on a regular basis before you can prioritize some of those luxury stylistic changes that you want to do. So I like Terry. I think he's going to find another home. He's got a nice little floater. He still is, you know, working on the jump shot, obviously, but can attack the basket a little bit, can offensive rebound. So he can do some stuff, but it just didn't really make sense, I think, with where this team is as far as all their injuries.
Julia in the comments saying that Javante signing is great news and they shouldn't have gotten rid of him in the first place. Gino Moore saying we've got to make it a priority to sign him again in the offseason because he's like Noah, the heart and soul of this team for sure. Bold comp, bold comp there. John Mayer in the comments also asking, I'm sure it's insignificant, but does this does this hurt their pockets at all? If so, they could have avoided
the age-old question
by not signing Batum outright. That is, I was also curious about that. Will, I don't know if you have. I haven't seen any official numbers on this new Javante deal, like on SpotRack or anywhere. I'm guessing it's just the usual sort of prorated part of a season kind of deal for a remainder of season contract. But I'm guessing between waiving Terry and then bringing Javante in on this very shortened partial, you know, full 15 man roster kind of contract, that it's not going to trigger the Bulls above where they want to be.
No, and they wouldn't have done it if it did. I mean, they're not going into the luxury tax to bring in a, you know, 15th man on the roster. Basically, the way that this is going to work is they're going to sign him to a prorated veterans minimum. So essentially, if you have like, I don't know the exact number, but if the, let's say the veterans minimum is $1 million for the year, basically you would take however many days left in the season and you would do like how many dollars per day. So in this case, it's about like $110,000 that's going to be, that he's going to make over the next 2 weeks, which again will include the postseason. And they had like $1.3 million below the tax. So they're totally fine by doing this. And they still are on the hook for Terry Taylor, but it does not impact them as far as making it into the luxury tax. So I think that's another reason why they felt comfortable doing it this way. In theory, like you said, John, they could have avoided this situation where they didn't have to sign or they didn't have to waive Taylor had they kept Batum on the two-way. They could have played him on that two-way and then still brought somebody in as a free agent. Obviously, they didn't go that direction. I think probably for good reason. Like, he was not playing in the NBA. He was coming back from this injury that was taking a long time. So I just don't think they felt comfortable doing that right away. But obviously, as I joked on Twitter when the initial signing took place, like, nothing says continuity like bringing back the only guy you've let go after 3 years. So clearly, there was the familiarity aspect of it was a big deal to them. And, you know, they wanted to keep their group together.
You got to keep the band together. Yeah, I mean, you just had letting go of Javante is like letting Ringo Starr walk away from the Beatles. You just can't do it.
With no platinum records.
But before we move on from Javante, you know, this 10-day contract that he just finished, he made three appearances and played pretty solid minutes off the bench, and not just solid minutes, but as far as Billy Donovan's rotation has been concerned this season, we talk about all the heavy minutes that the starters play, and not just Kobe and DeMar, but whether it's Vooch or Io or whoever else, even Caruso's minutes creeping up into the mid and high 30s recently as a starter. Javante played an average of 17 minutes off the bench in his three appearances on that 10-day, which for Billy's bench is like among the leaders in minutes for if you're playing off the bench, at most you're probably getting 20-22 unless it's you know, a special case. So I pose to both of you, do you think we will continue in these final six regular season games, and we'll see what happens and how many games happen beyond that, a similar allotment of minutes for Javante being maybe Billy's, you know, seventh or eighth guy off the bench?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think he basically jumped Batum in the rotation. He jumped obviously Terry Taylor, who they just waived in order to bring him in. So like, I don't think this is a scenario where like ownership is or front office is signing people and saying, all right, Billy, here's how many minutes you got to play this guy. Like, they give Billy the tools and he makes those decisions. And clearly there's a level of trust there. I mean, Javante, the last time we really saw Javante was last January, 2023, he moved into the starting lineup against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. So there is a level of trust there. Obviously, you know, a lot has happened since then, the injury, the surgery, and we don't know if he's like fully 100% back there, but he can clearly play with this scheme in this situation. And I think he's definitely going to be a guy that absorbs a lot of minutes. Like today, Torrey Craig did not practice. There was no like injury or anything like that, but he was just getting treatment on his knee that has been bothering him from the previous injury. Obviously, Patrick's gone. Damar and Caruso are playing heavy minutes at the four. So like they just need bodies. And I think, you know, if Javonte can make his jump shots, you know what you're going to get defensively. You know what you're going to get in transition. You know he's going to be able to switch and guard up. And those are things that you can count on from him on a nightly basis. You can't necessarily say that about Dalen Terry or Julian Phillips if he's able to come back, or Batum. Like that, there's not that level of consistency there. And like it's been great that they've had opportunities to help some of these younger guys develop and get minutes and stuff like that. But like this is the time of season where you kind of throw that stuff out the window and it's like, you got to win every single game. This is your season on the line. And I think they're treating it that way. You're seeing it with DeRozan in not just his minutes, but his usage has been like around 35 the last five or six games. Like they're putting the ball in the hands of their best player to try to get themselves the chance to win every game. I think that's what they're doing with the rotation on the whole. And that's why Javonte is back and Terry Taylor's out.
Yeah, I'll answer that. I know we're up against the break, man. So let's hit this break. I'll answer when we come back.
All righty then, let's take our break. We'll come back and get Dave's thoughts on Javonte minutes on the other side, and then we'll dive into the remaining schedules for the Bulls and Hawks, who are locked in a death grip for home court in the play-in tournament. While we are sharing these words from our friends and sponsors, you know what to do, Bulls Nation. Hit that like button if you're hanging out with us on YouTube. Make sure you also subscribe to our CHGO Sports YouTube channel. Dave, who's first?
First up is Manscaped. Now, I know I usually get a little silly on Manscaped and bring out the Irish Jamaican on you, but I'm going to get a little bit serious for a second, man, because this episode, as we said, is brought to you by Manscaped. But did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. So with April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use that promo code BULLS for 20% off and free shipping from Manscaped. So with this in mind, while you're at home and you're using your Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, you can do routine self-checks while you're at home taking care of yourself to make sure you are right. So that's all we want to make sure, is that everybody is right and they're checking themselves every single chance that they can get and making sure they're trim, they're clean, and they're healthy. And that is what Manscaped provides, y'all. So in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. That is awesome. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off free shipping with the code BULLS. That's 20% off and free shipping with that code BULLS, B-U-L-L-S. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your mentals, your balls, and your chicken.
Marshall. I like that. In between our ads real quick, just wanted to shout out a few other Bulls fans who just recently joined us in the chat while we were talking, Javonte. Shout out to Druish, one of our regulars. Shout out to Cassie. Also, shout out to Lord Zobey. I don't know if you guys just saw 670 just put out a tweet. LeVar Ball is talking on 670 The Score, like as we speak, or just recently did. Speaking of Bulls and who's available, LeVar Ball's prediction, for what it's worth, parentheses, it's not worth anything. He believes that Lonzo will be ready to participate in full contact, full physicality, 5-on-5 basketball in approximately 4 to 5 months. Which, okay, if you do the calendar math, would be like about a month before training camp starts for the 24-25 season. So, never lost.
I'll take it.
Ever lost. Ski Show Bull Day also brought to you by our friends at Circus Sportsbook, who always have those tight money line splits and their low hold model, striving to have minus 110 starting odds for whatever it is that you want to be putting some bets down on, whether it be over under on point totals for NBA games, spreads of NBA games, or whatever your preferred bets are. A lot of other sports bettors these days pushing those starting odds to 115 or 120 for no reason at all, but not at Circa, who also keep as little money as possible on large market bets like NBA future bets, for example, NBA season long awards, NBA playoff results. Seems like Joker's kind of running away with the MVP here in the last few weeks of the regular season. That's how most sports books are leaning anyway, but maybe you want to put some bets on some other NBA season long awards. Could see Kobe and DeMar both finish as finalists, and for DeMar, clutch player of the year, for Kobe, most improved player of the year. Zach Lowe, latest Lowe post, great conversation with David Thorpe about the leading candidates in the most improved player category. Kobe White's name did come up. Either way, you should make those bets at Circa, because you're going to find the best odds and values on those NBA futures bets there compared to other sports bettors. They also have unquestionably, undoubtedly, undeniably the best customer service in the business. Real people behind that Circa Sports brand and their app, who resolve any issues you might have in a timely fashion, unlike a lot of other sports books these days who use those dreaded chatbots, those good for nothing chatbots.
The dreaded chatbots.
AI is dog shit. Download the Circus Sports Illinois app, which is the opposite of dog shit. It's gloriousness at circussports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Be on the lookout for Circus events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAMB to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com.
I'll be sleeping on wheel, boy.
Yo, man. Never sleep on the goat.
Man, my God. All right,
Dave, your thoughts on Javonte's minute.
So, honestly, I think Billy answered this question about Javonte years ago when we needed a power forward, and he put in Javonte Green when we all were scrambling saying, oh, man, who are we going to play at the four? You know, we thought other guys were going to get some time and some tick there. And he was like, no, I'm going with Javonte Green. And that's exactly who I'm rolling with. And he was absolutely right. So his feelings for Javonte have been shown and known for years now. I think what he also does for Billy is remove thinking. So Billy doesn't have to think about, you know, what Javonte can bring on certain nights and how he's going to look in certain matchups and things like that. He already knows exactly what he's going to get from Javonte Green. The only thing that has always been up in the air with Javonte was the three-point shot. Will he be hitting those threes on that certain night? Because if he can, you're usually going to have a solid outcome for your team if Javonte Green's going like 3 of 5 or 3 of 6 from the three-point line for the Bulls. It's few and far between, but when it does happen, it's pretty awesome. And they usually come away with victories in that tip. But as far as his effort, his athleticism, as Will mentioned, you know what he provides, man. You just want to know if he can be healthy also, if that knee is going to be okay, and other ailments that we don't know about or he might have that we just don't know about. But outside of those things, like, he's just going to remove thinking for Billy Donovan. Billy's just going to have him in the game at any time during the game. He could leave him in the fourth quarter during clutch time, and it's still going to be – you still know what you're going to get from Javonte Green. And Will is right. Like, you know – what you're going to get more so, and he provides more of a comfort level than he would for a Dalen Terry or a Julian Phillips, who are still kind of figuring out the game and what they need to do. But Will's correct. This ain't that time right now to figure it out. You got to know who's out there, you know, for your team and what they can provide. So giving him that kind of soft landing is kind of what Javonte Green is for Billy Donovan, man. And he can play him and plug him at any one of those three positions, 2, 3, or 4.
Sports Chicago Style in the comments saying Acme and Billy are totally faithful to their old faithfuls. Shout out also to our friends, French Bulls TV and Fitch, who joined the comments just a minute ago. So we'll see. I would not at all be surprised to see Javonte play real significant minutes in these final six regular season games, because it's clear that Billy already is like, oh, Javonte, I remember you, and I trust you a lot more than some of the other slim pickings that are healthy and available at the end of my bench right now. So we will see. We'll see how many minutes he gets against the Knicks tomorrow night. Moving on, next thing we wanted to touch on today is this race in the play-in tournament standings. Bulls have been tied record-wise by the Hawks, who beat the Pistons last night. Bulls and Hawks now identical records at 36 and 40 with six games each to go. Thank you, Sarah. If you look on your screen, you will see the remaining schedules for each team. Bulls, three games against the Knicks, two at home, one on the road. Then also at Orlando, there's a toughie, but a couple more cupcakes in there on the road against Detroit and Washington. But hey, we've also seen the Bulls prove they're capable of losing to both of those dog shit squads. Hawks, meanwhile, much more challenging schedule at Dallas, at Denver. Heat, Hornets is the one cupcake they have, and then at Minnesota and at Indy. And, you know, who knows? Indy still might be scraping and fighting to, you know, keep themselves out of the Eastern Conference play-in picture. So there you go. I know, Will, I think you did some digging on, like, what's it called? Like playoffstatus.com or playoffodds.com or something to look at just exactly what these percentages look like as far as most probable outcomes here with these two schedules. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so playoffstatus.com has the Bulls. They're giving the Bulls a 76% chance to get the ninth seed and 24% chance at the 10th seed. And then obviously the Hawks are going to be the inverse of that. So 24% chance at the ninth seed and 76% chance at the 10th seed. Basketball reference models project the Bulls, give them a little bit less of a chance, 68.3% compared to a 31.7% chance at the 10th seed. And then again, the Hawks being the inverse there. So 68.3% chance the Hawks will be the 10th seed and 31.7% chance that they will be the ninth seed. And basically, because as you said, the Hawks have, or the Bulls have the tiebreaker, the Hawks would just have to have a better record than the Bulls the rest of the way. And with the, with that schedule, I mean, it just, it's going to be tough. You know, not to say that the Bulls are going to go 4-2 or whatever, but like, it just feels like it's going to be hard for them given their schedule to be able to get a better record than the Bulls down the stretch. They put themselves in position by getting that win the other night against the Bulls and then obviously taking care of business last night against the Pistons. But, you know, we'll see. Anything could happen with these final games. Who knows going to be, who knows who's going to be resting, who's going to be tanking, who's going to be doing whatever. But clearly I think the Bulls and the Hawks are both going to be teams that are trying to go for home court in that first round, because that's a big deal. I mean, having not just like the playing gate revenue, which obviously matters to ownership, but having home court advantage in a single elimination game is a huge advantage. So I expect both those teams to not really be resting guys down the stretch.
No, not at all. And it's definitely something the Bulls haven't had in a play-in yet, is a home court game. That they played Toronto on the road and then had to go play the Miami Heat on the road as well. So I'm sure they want that. You're right. I think it's more plausible just looking at that schedule that the Bulls would be the team. If I said which team do you think would go 4-2, I think I'd say the Bulls would, just looking at the teams that they have to play. And it all for me comes down, I look at that Atlanta schedule and I see that Minnesota game. And honestly, that is a game where you would think Minnesota would be resting, but the fact that they're in basically a three-way tie for first place, they're not allowed to rest right now. So they'll be going for it when they play that team. And that's the next to last game of the season. That's game 81. Usually teams that are top three are trying to rest and, you know, set up and give everything like that. And Minnesota's just not in that position in the West right now. So they'll be full tilt going up against these Atlanta Hawks. That is a tough schedule, as you said, Will, Matt. The Hornets are pretty much the only team that are a cupcake for them. But yeah, man, it's going to be tough for them. It really is. But I think the Hawks can surprise people. They've definitely been surprising teams these past few weeks with some of these victories that they've had. And DeJounte Murray just exploding, you know what I'm saying, with the big scoring outburst. And, of course, they have those other three-point shooters in Bogdanović and our guy, my man, Kaije, Future Bull. I just call him Future Bull. He's definitely had a great game, especially against the Bulls as far as shooting. So they have the guys that can shoot the ball. And Atlanta is used to being a postseason team. And I don't just mean a play-in team. Like, they actually go to the playoffs. So they're used to having that kind of thing in their DNA. So I think they'll be tough, but I still think the Bulls' schedule lends them to being the team who would have the better record. As Matt said, that Magic game is going to be tough. And that Knicks game, I don't know what that Knicks game is going to look like. Like, off the heels of this news with Julius Randle.
At least in tonight's game, I know, still don't have OG Anunoby back yet. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. Like, the Knicks are just going to, because they're not going to stop playing hard either. Like, they still are battling for position as well. And this is why it's my favorite time. Like, all these teams are still battling for position. Like, pretty much there are only, like, maybe one or two set teams. Like, Boston is pretty much, like, the set team. And, you know, maybe Milwaukee, but they're, like, two, three games. You know what I'm saying? Teams like two, three games, you know, ahead of them. I'm just saying that because of Milwaukee. I put a little more faith in them to be able to close that out. And I don't have that much faith in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Moving up. That's kind of why I say maybe a team like Milwaukee. But as you mentioned, the West is just packed up and it's tough. It's tough right now, man. But it's fun as a fan. It's fun to sit and watch this kind of stuff.
I mean, like, Boston is 13 games ahead of the currently two seeded Bucks right now. And the number of games separating the Bucks in second and then Philly all the way in eighth in the East is six games. Like, right. Boston just ran away with this. And I believe the Celtics win last night clinched them home court throughout the entirety of the playoffs. They secured their 60th win of the season. No one else, even if any of the other teams, you know, leading the way in the West win out, will reach 60. So Boston has home court throughout. We know that home court could be massively important in the NBA best of seven playoff series. Julie in the comments saying, we're just never sure what we're getting with this Bulls team. And Fish saying, home court advantage in a game that this team must win. What could go wrong? When it comes to the Bulls and Hawks, the Bulls started this season being a team that played much better at home than on the road. But some of their winning that helped them climb out of that awful start, And in particular, you know, we saw them go 3-1 on that, what we thought was going to be a very difficult West Coast trip. The Bulls have brought up their road record to actually pretty close to their home record. The Bulls are now 19-20 at home, hilarious, and 17-20 on the road. The Hawks, meanwhile, 21-18 at home. So at least they have a winning record at home by a few games, and 15-22 on the road. When you look at head-to-head this season between Bulls and Hawks, the home team went 1-2 in those three games. The Bulls split two home games, and then the Hawks lost to the Bulls in Atlanta. So how much does home court in this 9-10 game really mean?
Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, I think teams would always, whether there's like actual evidence to support it or not, like, teams are always going to want to be at their home court. They're going to want to sleep in their bed the night before. They're going to want to be like, they're going to want to have the fans on their side in that scenario. And So I don't know exactly how much it actually will matter, but, you know, just looking at these schedules the rest of the way, like, you guys kind of mentioned the play-in, the races, whether it's, you know, for whatever spot in the standings, but like the Knicks, the Orlando Magic they combined to be four of the Bulls' next six games, four of their final six games. Those teams are half a game apart right now, battling for 4 and 5. So that's huge. I mean, they are going to be trying down the stretch. They're going to be trying to get not only the better record, but like, they're fighting for home court advantage in the first round against the other team. So I expect that they will be trying the whole way. But then you look at the Western Conference, the Mavericks, who the Hawks play tonight, are a half game out of, they're in fifth place right now, a half game ahead of sixth, but also a half game ahead of seventh and a game ahead of eighth. So with one game, they could drop. So all these teams are just, they're so susceptible to movement. And I think that at the end of the day, like, when you are playing at this point in the season, whether or not your home record is better than your away record or whatever it is, like, these teams are all fighting for that because they feel like there's a value in it. So whether or not there actually is, like, that's what they're going to be going for. And I think, obviously, like, the Pistons and Washingtons and Charlottes of the world are not really playing for much right now, but Indiana, who the Hawks play in the last game, they're going to be fighting to get out of the play-in and into the sixth seed. The Heat are going to be fighting with Indiana to get out of the play-in and into the sixth seed. So there's just a lot going on at play here, and I wouldn't really expect any of these teams to be like resting guys or, you know, just throw in the white flag before the game even starts, because there seems to be a lot on the line for these teams who really do value home court advantage.
will be interesting to see how it plays out and if it comes down to the wire. You know, like that they two Sundays from now is the regular season finale, where, you know, basically all the teams play. Everybody plays the earlier tip-off time so that nobody has an advantage of knowing either we need to win this game to clinch this spot or we don't, so you can rest guys, whatever, whatever. Maybe the Bulls and Hawks and the 9 and 10 seeds will be determined before we get to that regular season finale. Certainly add some extra drama if they kind of stay neck and neck record-wise all the way until those last couple of games. Let's take our second break. We'll come back and dive into the other thing on our talking point list today, which is the best and worst young cores across the NBA. At least according to some NBA talking heads, the Bulls, not very high on that list. While we share these words, you know what to do. Hit that like button if you didn't do it the first time around. Helps us out a lot. Helps us grow the YouTube channel. Make sure you also subscribe. Dave, who's next?
Well, a question. Matt Peck, what time is it?
Oh,
man, when he was drinking.
I had a sip. That is,
I didn't even realize. I'm sorry. I do apologize.
Devilish trickery.
I do apologize. I do apologize for that, sir.
It's okay.
Still hilarious, but I do apologize. I wasn't trying to do that. And you out there. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets to all your sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you with killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, and their best price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying those tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even an hour after it starts. It is not the place. This is when Sarah would come in right now and say, no. It is the place to find last minute seats. Find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, hockey, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and so much more. And with Zone Deals, you pick the section and Game Time will do the selecting for an average savings of, drum roll, back. Oh, 18%. He had to come out the video just to do that. 18%. And the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price possible. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that code CHGO, and get yourself $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, code CHGO. What you get, $20 off your first purchase after you create that account, of course. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Because we'll go. Gottlieb, sir, what time is it?
Get up.
My webcam did not like my drum roll on my desk. It's okay. I'm back. CHGO Bulls today also brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. Whether it's your team stressing you out, like whether or not they can clinch that all-important ninth seed, or just life in general, things can feel chaotic. That's why Coors Light helps you find moments to chill all year long. I don't know when you guys feel like you need to chill. I definitely need to chill when I'm watching the Bulls. I also need to chill when I get home from talking about the Bulls, because it's also stressful. Also, sometimes it's not because I need to chill because I'm stressed, but I want to chill because it's just a perfect time and a perfect mood to have a nice ice cold Coors Light. We've had some gross weather this week in Chicago. I am so just waiting. I am waiting and waiting to those glorious, sunny, warm days that start coming around in Chicago in springtime, because it goes great with a nice icy cold Coors Light. And you know it's icy cold because the mountains are as blue and cold as those Colorado Rockies. Coors Light is cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged to create a much smoother finish. When it's time to chill, the mountains are blue, so you know it's time to chill. So open a Coors Light. It's a mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. I can also get it delivered straight to my door, and so can you, by using Instacart. Go to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. That's CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Big Dave, I believe you also have something that you wanted to plug right quick before we dive into our third and final topic?
Yes, it is. Sarah, slap it on the screen when you get a chance. There it is.
Slap it to Bisman.
Slap it to Bisman. The official CHGO WrestleMania watch along. It's official. It is happening. I know there were rumblings out there. Would it happen? Could it happen? It is happening, y'all. Saturday, this Saturday, April 6th, starting at 6 p.m. It'll be myself, my man Greg, my man Jay, my man Mario. Ryan, I believe, is stopping through from CHGO Cubs, and whoever else wants to come through, sit in and do this watch along with us, along with you wonderful people out there who will be watching along with us and in the chat talking to us about every single match that is going down night one, The Rock versus Roman Reigns. The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, baby. I can't wait for that. That is the main event brought to you by the beautiful people at Salerno's. If you use the code CHGO at that Grand, that location on Grand, use that code CHGO, 50% off your order is what you're going to get, like starting today. You can get this, ladies and gentlemen, 50% off your order at Salerno's on Grand, ladies and gentlemen. So please use that code, save yourself some money, eat you some food, come watch this with us. The response has been great from the people out there, man, saying they want to watch this along with us. As you all know, I am a wrestling head. I am beyond excited to do this, man, and I am just ready for Saturday, night one of WrestleMania. Come watch with us on YouTube. Oh my God, I'm so charged. I'm so ready for all of this. So ready for all of this, baby. Yeah, come on, Julia.
So excited. Oh, I'm ready. So excited. The pinnacle,
I'm so ready.
The pinnacle of sport.
Sports entertainment, Matt. Sports and entertainment. It's the Super Bowl, baby. How you don't get excited about the Super Bowl?
Well, I already did because it happened 2 months.
Yeah.
The Super
You know the Bowl. One time Brady wins winning all the time.
Right? Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. This is a wrestling event.
Oh, the wrestling event.
Okay. Yeah.
That's right.
I am excited for you and your fellow wrestling fans.
That's right.
Wait, so are you all going to hang out at the studio together to watch it? Like you and the rest of the CHGO crew? Okay.
We will all be at the studio watching it. Anybody of the CHGO family is more than welcome to come through and hang out and watch it, except for Matt Peck, who just wants to come ruin everybody's good time. But you're more than welcome to come hang out and enjoy what will be going down. But it will be a watch along. We will be watching it along with everyone else around the world. We'll be watching it, man. But get on YouTube with us. Get in the chat with us, man. It's going to be a good time, man. Salerno's is going to be providing some tasty vittles for us as well. I'm excited. I'm just very excited, man. Shout out to everybody who helped make this happen. Very excited. Woo. I can't wait.
Great pizza. I hope you all are wildly entertained. I hope all of the I hope all the right wrestlers win and all the right wrestlers lose.
Yes. Yes.
And that there's a sufficient amount of steroids and banana hammocks.
All right. Nothing you can say can bring me down, baby. Come on. It's mania season. Woo!
Oil them up. Oil them up.
I'm charged. I'm charged, baby. Gonna see The Rock. Let's go, man.
Yay.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Just give me Moana too. I love The Rock.
There you go. Yes, CHGO, use that code CHGO, 50% off at the Grand location only the location on Grand, ladies and gentlemen, but 50% off of your order is what you're going to get.
All right, guys, so going back to basketball, the Dunked On podcast with Nate Duncan, I think it was their second most recent episode. Will, you're the one who found it. We're talking about the ranking the youngest cores, ranking the best young cores across NBA rosters right now, defining young core as each team's collection of players who are age 25 or younger. So in the Bulls' case, that would be Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, who are both 24. Kobe just turned 24 last month in February. Patrick Williams, who is still 22, which is crazy. Daylon Terry. And Julian Phillips, technically, because he's here right now, owner Al Batim would also qualify. I think he just had his 25th birthday.
Yeah.
So, look, I saw somebody in the comments, I think it was Gino, saying, like, come on, like, how could they not rank the Bulls high? The Bulls have one of the top cores with White, Ayo, P-Dub, they're just hating as usual. So you can go and listen to this. It's one of their free available podcasts on their Dunked On website that's up right now. They ranked the Bulls 24th out of 30 teams' young cores. For the record, the only teams who they had ranked beneath the Bulls as far as the potential and talent of their young cores: Knicks, Nets, Lakers, Suns, Bucks, Clippers. Those are the only six teams deemed to have worse young core rosters than the Bulls. When you think about that, basically other than the Brooklyn Nets, who are just lost in a desert of pointlessness, the other five teams are comprised of vets on high salary, high cap sheet, win now teams.
Not just win now, like championship caliber.
Yeah, not just win now, but Lakers, like maybe Suns, Bucks, pushing Clippers. Aside the Knicks, the other four for sure, Lakers, Suns, Bucks, Clippers, those are championship contend now teams that have a bunch of old vets on them. So they've mortgaged and sacrificed certain draft capital over the years to assemble these veteran-laden teams and therefore don't have a great cupboard of young cores, young core players. Those are the only teams in the league deemed to have worse young cores than the Bulls. Big Dave, what do you think about this?
I mean, it's hard to argue it. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks to hear for sure. But if you're looking at it objectively and you're looking at it and you're watching, you're like, yeah, that's about right. I think what hits it home is what you just said, Matt and Will, about the other teams that are behind them. Because while you're reading them, all I kept saying was, oh, that team won a championship. Oh, that team's always in the playoffs. Oh, that team's really contending. Hey, there's a pattern here. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, it's not good at all. And the fact that you can really hang your hat probably on two of your young talent right now, which is Kobe and Io, and who honestly did it this year to be able to get those hats hung on, unless you were me who just thought they were going to be dope. But that's, I'm just talking about when you actually looking at them and the play that they had, it actually, you know what I'm saying, validated, you know what I mean, what the feelings were that I had. So a lot of people just starting to look at it right now because it's now validation time for what they're doing on the floor. They're not looking at Dalen Terry the same way I might and say, oh, in a couple years, he might be great. They like, well, where is it? They don't see it. You know, they're not looking at it with Julian Phillips like that because he's a rookie and he's a second round rookie. And he's not playing, you know, and they're not looking at it with Patrick Williams, who hasn't really lived up to what we thought he was going to be. You know what I mean? Yeah, as of yet. And again, we're going to keep saying that. I think of Mark K immediately when I said that. So, yeah, man, like I understand how they feel. I don't think that they're wrong, honestly, for assessing the Bulls in this kind of way. They have to be better with that. And this is kind of why we wanted certain trades and things to be made for this team where they can get, you know, back into the draft, get their draft capital back, and then try to, you know, get some more young talent on this team while they're still, you know, in there trying to be a play-in team. You could have still got rid of a couple guys and gotten some really good draft capital for that. But they didn't want to do that. So you're stuck in that. However poetically Matt just put it about the Nets is exactly how it kind of is about the Bulls. It's the same kind of thing, man.
Yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking back that this must have been age 26 and under, because like the Celtics, I think they were talking about Tatum, who's 26. So like that would also include the Heat having Bam and Tyler Hero, which I think makes a lot more sense than just Tyler Hero. So I'm just kind of revising this in my head right now and saying it's 26. But even still, I mean, it sounds kind of like dramatic, but I think, Dave, what you just said makes a lot of sense, which is that like, you can't just like say this guy's sick on my roster and not think about how he figures into the rest of the league. Like, yes, Kobe has been great, but how great is he relative to other guards around the league? Is he better than Tyrese Maxey? Is he better than Tyler Hero? You know, whatever it may be. And you could argue yes, you could argue no, but like just because he's playing well for the Bulls doesn't necessarily make him like a top prospect around the rest of the league. I think the other thing is a lot of these teams and a lot of these guys, like you typically see some consistent flashes by your third year in the league. So like Kobe is an anomaly, I think, for breaking out in year five the way that he did. Like that is not something that you see on a regular basis. It happens. We saw it with Jimmy Butler, obviously, but like that's the exception, not the rule. And so, you know, Io, I think, fits into that. But like Patrick, you know, we still have not really seen him put together any real flashes beyond just like a couple of key moments in games here and there, like plays. It's not like he's putting together great games over and over again. And obviously the injury, I think, sets him back in a big way. But like, yeah, it sounds a little bit dramatic, but you look at it, it's like the Cavs have Garland and Mobley, and, you know, Donovan Mitchell, I think, is too old at this point, but like Jared Allen's still 26. So they've got like this core of guys that are like already playoff caliber. You've got the Magic, who are in the fourth seed in the East. They've got Paolo and Franz and Jalen Suggs and Anthony Black. They've got like a ton of guys. The Pacers have Halliburton. And, you know, so even if you just like take their top player in a lot of these cases, like they're just going to be way better than the Bulls' top young player. The Hawks, you know, obviously DeJounte doesn't fit into that, but they've still got Trae Young. They've still got, you know, a bunch of other young, interesting prospects. Jalen Johnson's probably more interesting than anybody on the Bulls. The Raptors have Scottie Barnes. The Hornets have Melo and Brandon Miller and Mark Williams. The Pistons have a ton of guys. Even like, you know, the OKC Thunder are just loaded up to the gills with young players. The Mavericks have Luka. Like they're just automatically going to be in a better situation. So you think about that, like the Pelicans have Zion, the Kings, I think they're probably in a similar caliber because Sabonis and Fox are out, but like even the Warriors, they've got Kuminga and they've got Moody and they've got a ton of, you know, interesting traced action Davis. They've got guys. And I think it just kind of helps put into perspective not only the short-term and immediate present of this team, but also like how much work it's going to be to build the right way around what prospects they have, because as good as Kobe and Io have been this year, they're not the driving force behind getting the Bulls into the play-in. Mm-hmm. And they are not already good enough to be able to carry them there. I think that's a big reason why we didn't see any major moves, is because I think this team would get a lot worse. And that's, you know, not trying to trash Kobe or Io or anything. They played great and they've gotten a lot better, but I think it's just, you know, clarifying to understand where you are relative to the rest of the league when, as well as those guys have played, it's like they're not the ones that are making you a play-in team. It's still DeMar, it's still Vooch, it's still Drummond, it's still Caruso. Those are really the guys that are driving a lot of this. And again, not to take away anything from Kobe and Io, because they've played well and they've contributed, but I think when you think about it just in terms of young cores, I think it is really eye-opening to think about how much work this front office has to do to start collecting some younger assets.
No kidding. Gino in the comments said, no, they're wrong. Kobe, Io, and P-Dub are definitely future all-stars for sure, or potentially superstars. They put in too much work for that. P-Dub coming along a little slower, but once he unlocks. Gino, I love your optimism, man, and your enthusiasm, and it's great. And I don't think Gino is alone in feeling that any of the trio of players have potential that Bulls fans have been clinging to in a couple of consecutive seasons, where there's not a whole lot to be excited about, because we all see that the ceiling of this team is maybe getting the eighth seed or maybe not. But I'm sorry, you're delusional if you're going to sit there and try to tell other Bulls fans that unquestionably Kobe, Io, and Pat are all future all-stars and maybe even superstars. Because guess what, man? You're wrong. I'm not trying to be mean or rude, but that's just flatly false. They have made strides in their game. That does not make it a guarantee or certainty of any kind, or even a likelihood that any of those three players, Kobe, Io, or Pat, will ever see one all-star selection, let alone all three of them seeing one, or even seeing several of them throughout their careers. There is no guarantee of that right now. There's very little evidence to even support a theory like that right now. That's a Bulls fan grasping at straws and trying to find hope where there is little. I'm sorry, that's how I see it.
Well, and I don't necessarily even disagree with Gino, correct? Am I saying it right?
Yeah, Gino.
Okay, and I don't even necessarily disagree with him as far as what I believe, because I always thought Kobe was a star, and I thought that would be a case. Io was a little more surprising than anything, and I've always believed in Patrick Williams. But what they're looking at is what has happened. That's what Matt has kind of just stated right there. It's they're looking at exactly what's going down now, not so much the potential of what they might turn out to be, but what you've seen so far. And what you're looking at so far, and you turn it around and you're looking at the rest of the league, I don't feel like they're wrong to feel like, oh man, they don't really have enough. I haven't seen it. I'm only seeing it this year. And after just seeing it for 1 year for players that have not their rookie year, you know what I'm saying? And not their second year, but two of those guys are, you know, year five, and one of them is in year three. And so that's what they're kind of looking at and kind of assessing these kind of things on. It's not so much your future, like down the road, we think you're going to be great. No, it's they haven't shown the potential yet or something tangible that you can hold on to yet to say, okay, I believe this, we will rank you higher because I just saw a whole month where you average 34 points a game. You know, like it has to be that kind of tangible for them to rank you a little bit higher, even though I believe it. And Kobe has definitely put on for that belief that I had. And Ayo has definitely been absolutely incredible and amazing. And Patrick still kind of come along, but he's hurt. They have to go off of what they're, you know, kind of seeing, you know what I'm saying, right now. And Daylen and Julian, you can't, you know, put your eggs in that basket yet. You know what I mean? Like, you have to just going off of potentials and maybes and kindas and sortas. They're like, where is the actual thing I can grab hold to? That's what this kind of is, man. So if they're looking at it like that, they're honestly not wrong.
Yeah, and I think it also just kind of brings into clarity a little bit why, like I said, the front office didn't make changes in direction when we felt like maybe they should have. I think it kind of speaks to their, not necessarily their faith in those guys, because they obviously believe in Kobe and Ayo, and for good reason. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just don't think that they are at this point in their career, not to say they can't be, they're at a place where they can drive winning to the playoffs. And to me, like, if I were in the position of GM and it was my like decision to the way that I wanted to build this roster, like, to me, building a crop of young talent would be like priority number one over trying to get into the play-in or the playoffs 8th seed this year. Like, that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And, you know, maybe the opportunity cost wasn't there, where, you know, they could have had a couple of trades go down if they wanted to move Caruso or whatever. But like, if they didn't feel like it was going to be a young player who could help them get into the playoffs in the next couple of years, then I can see why they wouldn't want to do that. But at some point they're going to have to, because, you know, frankly, we're kind of looking at DeMar for the next 3 years. I think that's probably what's going to end up happening. But like, by that time, Kobe's going to be 28 or 27. Right. I was going to be 27. They're going to not have a pick next year in all likelihood. I don't know how and when you start to accumulate those guys, and the longer you wait, the harder it gets. And I think the harder it is to just have that base of good young players, because now I was going to be on his third contract. Kobe's going to be on his third contract. Who knows what's going to happen with Pat, but like, it's not like you just have this surplus of picks coming in to help bolster your base of young players. Like, that's what they need to prioritize. That's what they need to start building towards. And even in the last rebuild, I don't think they did a good enough job of that. They never accumulated additional picks, with the exception of trading Nico Mirotic for what became the 21st pick, where they selected Chandler Hutchinson. So I think that has not been a priority for this team for a long time. And it's obviously a little bit disappointing. That's not how I would do it. But I do think that this is kind of enlightening, just to kind of think about, okay, if we are really this far behind the rest of the pack, you know, if we're operating like our roster is constructed like a team that is trying to win a championship right now, like the Bucks or the Suns or the Lakers or the Clippers, like that's what our roster looks like, then we shouldn't be in the 8th seed. We shouldn't be in the 10th seed. You know, we shouldn't be playing our way into the playoffs through the play-in. So at a certain point, like, that's going to have to become the priority. And I think the longer they wait, the worse it's going to get.
Vet teams win in the NBA. It's always been the case. It still is. But I think it is less so than like in the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s, old teams won championships, right? Mm-hmm. Like Denver, Milwaukee, you know, the bubble Lakers, whoever you're talking about in this recent stretch, obviously the Warriors getting their fourth in you know, 2022, like, it's still very much like vet teams that win, but you are also now seeing young teams get good faster than maybe the average NBA fan would expect them to. Obviously this season, you mentioned Orlando, Will, OKC being another prime example of that, even though it looks like they're, you know, probably going to miss out on the play-in out west. The winning streak, we just saw that young Rockets team go on, where they rattled off consecutive wins in the double digits, and a team that's given the Bulls and his veteran Bulls team fits over the last few years. they may not be, you know, hoisting Larry O'Brien halfway through June, but we see all these young teams up in the top half of their respective conferences standings and coming together much faster because the league is younger now. So you can have teams that are good and competitive while still being young. I think that's the frustrating thing if a Bulls fan looks at these and not these specific dunked on rankings of young cores, but just looking at the young talent in the league and comparing it to where the Bulls are, what the Bulls have and what the Bulls don't have, to be frustrated by that. So you're like, there's these teams that, like, you know, Orlando kind of like rebuilt and, you know, traded Vooch away and traded away some other pieces and then hit and hit well on a couple of key draft picks. And look where they are now. OKC compiled draft picks and, you know, like went a different direction after some short-lived playoff runs of their veteran teams, whether it be, you know, Melo, CP3, Paul George, those weird OKC Thunder years after KD and Russ. And look where they are now with very young teams. And it's frustrating to realize that and think that the Bulls are stuck being not as competitive and much older and not having any true blue chip talents who are just waiting to blossom.
And to borrow from Will, because he always would say this, like the teams behind them are now you're a threat because these are younger teams who are stockpiling these picks and getting high draft picks. So at some point in time, those young players are going to figure something out. And that's how your blue chip stocks are kind of born, you know what I'm saying, out here. And they're figuring out at a younger age, you know, by year three, you know, they'll figure something out. Brandon Miller's going
to
figure it out, man.
I was about to say, like, that dude are going to be up there next
serious. Year. That dude is serious. Go watch him if you people, like, if you haven't seen him. That dude is serious. He's coming. He's not retiring next year. He'll be back. He'll be better. So those younger teams that are behind them are just going to retool and some of them are just going to grow and it's going to hit, you know, for those guys. And the Bulls are just refusing to acknowledge that and do something about that and just kind of stand pat and leave you in the desert, however Matt put it. What'd you call it, Matt? The desert of what?
The desert of pointlessness.
Yes.
Hopelessness? I don't know.
Hopelessness.
Like, I think the other thing there is, like, it's not just that you're staying still and the other teams behind you are moving up. It's also that, like, the other teams that are in your position, the Raptors, they realized where they were and they became sellers. And now they're in a really great position moving forward where they're going to have three draft picks in the first round this year. They've got a franchise player. They've got a couple of really nice, you know, secondary starter, like not quite stars, but like RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley, really nice young players to go along with Scottie Barnes and three first round picks this year. It's a much better situation than what the Bulls have. And I think, you know, there's not really many teams in the East who are, I mean, the Bulls are really in this category of teams that were like, all right, everybody's just waiting for them to hit the, you know, pull the ripcord, and they didn't do it. And, you know, the more teams that start to get off of that middle ground and trade their players for assets, like, that's how they now lap the Bulls, where the Bulls are still going to be spinning their tires doing this mediocrity thing for two more years. And like the next team who is a seller is now going to like lap them. And it's like, just, I don't get it.
Neither does John, apparently, who's talking about Ryan Poles and drafting and scouting quarterbacks. Wrong chat, bud. But yes, bear down. But
hey, yes, bear down.
We are out of time. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. For all you NBA League Pass folks out there, speaking of that Bulls-Hawks race for ninth, Hawks in Dallas tonight taking on Luka and the Mavs. Tip off 6:30 Central, just about a half hour from now, if you want to watch some high-stakes NBA action. We've also got Kings-Knicks and then Nuggets-Clippers as our TNT doubleheader tonight. I know what I'm doing. We will be back tomorrow when the Bulls are back in action, taking on those very same Knicks who are playing prime time tonight. 6:30 Central time is when pregame will start for that 7 p.m. Bulls Knicks tip. Go, you will be there at home, right? So you'll be at the Madhouse.
Tomorrow night, yes, they're home. I'll be there.
Rightio. Then Dave and I will be in studio. We will talk to Goat during postgame following Bulls Knicks tomorrow night. In the meantime, follow Goat, Will_Gottlieb. Read his stuff, allchgo.com. Big Dave is at Bow, BWL Sports. I'm Bulls_Peck. We are CHGO_Bulls. Shout out and appreciation to our friend and producer, Sarah, on the controls today. And shout out to everybody hanging out with us on YouTube. Hit that like button on your way out. We will talk to you tomorrow for pregame before Bulls Knicks. See you, Red. Be good. Peace. We all silly like the mayor.